Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to Warriors Wrap-Up.
Adlon Curry takes another three. It's up and good! He's got 62!
On 95.7, the game.
Pass to Wiseman off the pick, and he flies in for a dunk.
Jam! Oh, by Oubre! He caught it right at the restricted area and slammed it home with a left hand.
Here's John Dickinson and Ryan Covey.
Draymond flipped it to Curry. Curry down the right sideline. Curry stops and pops. It's a three. It's up and good. Curry with only his second triple of the night.
And Curry would finish with just two triples on the night, 27 points, but not nearly enough. The Warriors overmatched in this one by the Brooklyn Nets, and Brooklyn wins it. Big first quarter, outscoring the Dubs 37-28 and outscoring the Warriors 42-31 in the third. That's the story of this one. Just too much talent for the Brooklyn Nets, and they beat the Warriors 134-117 in a game they led by as many as 28. Ryan Covey, a special night for Kevin Durant, and then the game started, and the Brooklyn Nets, when they're engaged, they are a talented squad, and they did enough defensively early and a whole lot offensively throughout, and this was just one of those nights where the more talented team got the job done.
Man, firepower on display for the Brooklyn Nets. And, you know, for a little bit of context, the Warriors did miss a lot of open looks from three. And, you know, you look at the box score when it's all said and done. Nets go 16-39 from downtown. That's 41%. That's stellar. Dubs 9-34. And it was their starters, too, that really struggled tonight. 4-23 were the Warriors starters from three-point range. Not going to win a lot of basketball games against teams with the firepower of the Brooklyn Nets when your starters go 4-23 from downtown. Great night for Brooklyn. I mean, they flexed big time, and the Warriors just didn't have enough to hang with them.
No, and in the early going of this one, it was the Bruce Brown show, really, for Brooklyn. And you look at it, and in the first quarter, the Brooklyn starters actually, or the big three, didn't shoot it all that well. But it was the other players on the roster. And I had the note at the end of the first quarter, Durant, Irving, and Harden just 5-16, but everybody else was 8-12. And Bruce Brown, slipped into the basket for easy layups seemingly whenever he wanted, just kind of having his way. Not the best shooting night for the Warriors, not the best defensive effort night really for the Warriors, playing against a pretty talented squad and everybody in double figures for Brooklyn in that starting lineup, plus Jeff Green off the bench. And you add it all up, and the Warriors, for a sixth straight time on this season, with a chance to move to 3 over .500, can't get it done, and with a chance to have a three-game winning streak, can't get it done. Now 0-6, some of those are repeater offenses where both apply, but 0-6 in each of those specific situations where they can either get to plus three or have a three-game winning streak, and the Warriors, it's back to the drawing board for them following this 134-117 loss.
Yeah, and we know that the Warriors it's been an up-and-down ride so far this season, and there's been some really nice moments for this basketball team along the way. There's still figuring it out, but, I mean, really, you know, a team like Brooklyn, you have to defend more than the Warriors did. And, you know, even going into that second quarter, I thought they got off to a really nice start in the second quarter, JD. That second unit looked like maybe they were going to hold the line. I think they held Brooklyn scoreless for about the first 2.5, even 3 minutes of the second quarter. And they had a couple opportunities to tie the game, but ultimately it didn't happen. And then there was a couple of those sequences where Warriors miss a shot. Nets get out in transition, hit a three, get a layup. James Harden's passing tonight was on a whole nother level. KD threaded it a few times. Kyrie, I mean, you look up, the Nets ended up with 35 assists. I felt like it could have been more almost. Like, they were moving that basketball, and they were running the floor. And tonight, I know that, you know, maybe the points in the paint, like, weren't really showing the disparity, but it was simply the lane was open for business, and the Nets were in full attack mode. And I felt like the Warriors as a group just weren't doing enough defensively. And, you know, I mean, I think they got a little bit discouraged in this game once they started getting down. But, I mean, you know, guys backpedaling while the Nets are running out for outlet passes, and just a step slow all night. And when you combine that with elite playmaking and passing from James Harden tonight, and you get the result, which is a 17-point margin of victory. But I don't even think the game was that close, you know, when you actually watched it.
It wasn't, and the Warriors trailed by as many as 28, in particular in that second half. And tonight's the kind of game from the Brooklyn standpoint where it shows you with the 35 assists and only 13 turnovers what it can look like for them with those three all playing together. Offensively, they do complement each other well because Durant is so skilled and efficient, and Kyrie has got the handle, and he's able to get into the lane as well as knock down the three. And James Harden, I mean, that's the one thing really these last couple of years. I mean, everybody talks about him pounding it, and it's true. But James Harden, over the last couple of years, really developed into basically a point guard with the Houston Rockets. And so the assist totals for him obviously rocketed up the charts, and he wound up with 16 tonight. And he can just kind of have his way, and Brooklyn's got shooting. Joe Harris knocking down a couple. Bruce Brown, as I mentioned, did a nice job slipping to the basket. And, you know, when they're clicking, it's tough. And I think tonight was a night where the Warriors were almost demoralized, I thought, by some of the missed threes. And it impacted them a little bit on the defensive end. We talked about it last night on The Final Word. We talked about it on Warriors Live before the game. For me, this game was going to be about the Warriors' offense, because no matter what they did defensively, they were not going to, in my estimation, be able to hold Brooklyn down enough to win this game if it was in the 110s. So right. It was going to have to be, you got to get into the 120s, basically, to even have a shot. Now, yes, they would have had to have been better defensively to hold Brooklyn into the 120s, but the 117 with basically a good chunk of that coming, the Warriors' best chunk of that, the 35 in the fourth, when it was basically mop-up time, the Warriors really weren't sniffing enough offensively to where, you know, they could have lost this game 134-117 as they did. They also probably could have lost this game 122-105, you know, just as well if they had held Brooklyn down a little bit and the game had been closer to where they didn't have that 35-point outburst in mop-up time. Just not enough on either end.
Yeah, and you knew that this game meant a lot to the Brooklyn Nets. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Like, you got Kevin Durant coming back. You know, these three, there's been so much attention and you know, coverage and excitement, you know, in Brooklyn about what it can look like with this new iteration of a big three, right? And, you know, you get Harden over there, but we haven't seen very much of it. You know, Kyrie missed time. You know, KD missed some time. So they're still figuring this out. And then, you know, they had to trade so many pieces in order to bring over James Harden, and they've also lost Spencer Dinwiddie for the season. So they're trying to figure out just what this looks like, and they didn't have DeAndre Jordan tonight. Now, he's, you know, with the Warriors don't have any centers right now anyway, so certainly wasn't catastrophic, but we knew going in that this was going to be a kind of a track meet, high-paced game, and it certainly was. Even I think it was even more than I thought it was going to be, if I'm being honest. I didn't think that all three of these guys were going to be so locked in the way they were tonight. And then you get the ancillary contributions tonight, too. I mean, you mentioned Brown. He goes for 18. Joe Harris, who's got such a sweet stroke, he goes for 16. What, they end up with like 40-something points off the bench tonight as well. I mean, Green, Johnson. So there was this was, you know, for Brooklyn, this is exactly what they wanted to look like, right, JD? I mean, you know, you basically spread out the scoring among the big three. You know, one night it'll be Irvin going off. One night it'll be KD. Harden will get his. Tonight, Harden was the distributor, and I think there was a big onus by this Brooklyn team. They kind of had this game circled for a while. Like, let's go get this one for our guy, for KD, and then let's start to get some good momentum going. Because coming in, I mean, let's face it, Brooklyn had been playing like crap lately, right, JD? I mean, they, you know, they've been losing a bad basketball team, so they needed something to kind of get their season going in the right direction, and they did it tonight.
They had been, although they have been good overall against the better teams in the league. So I think if they respect you, and I think clearly the Nets had, you know, the Warriors, they were going to play up in this ballgame tonight, and they respected the Warriors. So they were going to get, I think, a more honest effort tonight than, say, maybe Brooklyn will give when they play in Sacramento on Monday night, for example. Like, sure. I wouldn't be surprised if that game is like 135 to 130 and maybe – you know, Brooklyn gets bit because they don't want to play a lick of defense. The Warriors weren't going to get that effort in front of a national audience with KD in his return. That's just unfortunately for Golden State, that's the cost of doing business. 888-957-9570. It's Warriors wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson and Ryan Covey. Warriors now 14-13. Back to the drawing board for them as they'll take on Cleveland at Chase Center on Monday. And it's pretty simple for the Warriors. You win that final game in San Antonio on the trip, you come back, you figure out a way to beat Orlando, a couple of wins you really needed to have, and now Monday becomes a game that the Warriors really need to have. I'm not too broken up about tonight. I think, you know, big picture right now, the Warriors are going to pick off some games here and there against some good teams, but with regularity, this team just isn't going to be good enough with regularity to contend and compete with the better teams in the league when the better teams in the league are playing up to their capability. So it, for me, becomes more of a situation where the Warriors just need to make sure that they're winning the games like they did Thursday, winning the games like they did Monday. If they can't do that, then maybe we've got a problem. Let's get to West Oakland Sam up first here on Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Sam?
What's up, brothers? I just want to talk about, you know, these little three game wins that we want to see from the Warriors. Up until tonight's game, I think the three-game stretches that we wanted to see, because they win two games and they lose that last game, right? I think that was tied to – I think they run out of gas for the other times that they didn't win three games in a row. They were just running out of gas based off of the two games that they were playing prior to that. Tonight, they just ran into a really superior opponent to where you couldn't mess up like that, right? You know, and plus it was KD's return as well. So it's like, I feel, and also there was, you know, like Draymond's injury, that probably shook the team in a way. It was like, oh, is Draymond down? That's our defensive coordinator, you know. And I just feel like this is our season. This is our season. This is a 500. This is what a 500 or a little bit above 500 team looks like. You're gonna win games that matter. You're gonna lose ones that you should win. But then you're going to play teams that are more superior that you know you're going to lose either way. And I'm just kind of thinking somebody on the – I wish we had Iggy. I don't know why, but every time I watch our second unit, I think I wish we had Iggy on this team to just be like, this is what you got to do to lock down. You know what I mean? And I wish we had that type of veteran presence on the bench to kind of carry – to kind of guide that. And – yeah, like I just really feel like we went out of gas to get that third win. We played really well those two games, but that third game is like where we're just like, ah, we won two games, but here's the third game. It's up in the air. Like, we don't know. So
thanks, Sam. Yeah. Good stuff, my man. Really appreciate the call. We'll jump in there. Sam may be running out of gas a little bit there, Covey, at the end of that call. Great start. Like, I think he was up 20. He was coasting. But
he was rolling. He got a little comfortable, though. Second unit and came just, in for Sam.
Yeah, man.
Slipped up a little bit. It happens.
And what happened? We love Sam. I mean, Sam's in the Warriors wrap-up.
You know, family.
He's family for sure, and yeah. So you know, we love Sam, but you know, it's like we got you, brother. We know where you're
carry
coming
over
from.
The finish line. They pay us to do this. It's all good, baby.
Yeah, I think Sam hits on it, man. I mean, this is what this team is, and right. and that's okay. Like, I'm not saying that with anger. Like, that's right. There's gonna be nights like this, and I think for the most part, there hasn't been a lot of them, but. Hey, tonight Brooklyn cared. They played well, and the Warriors took it on the chin.
JD, just make sure you beat the Cleveland Cavaliers on Monday, right? I mean, that's where the Warriors
yes.
have held the line this year. You know, they've rose up a few times and beaten some teams that maybe you didn't think they'd be able to. Now they've made sure to give those games back, against a couple of times against substandard opposition. But bottom line, by and large, this team has handled business against the teams that they would expect to beat. They've avoided that catastrophic, now they haven't had that huge win to like really take them, to another level so far this year. But at the same time, they've also avoided that. Oh, now they're officially going in a bad way loss, right? I mean, when you have, you don't lose three games in a row all year, you've certainly accomplished that, if nothing else. So definitely just beat Cleveland on Monday night. You'll be right back on track. And I think, too, you got to give some props to Brooklyn. I mean, they played a hell of a basketball game tonight, and they were just a step faster than the Dubs. I mean, I know a lot of people are on my timeline talking about it's a difference in quality and talent. Obviously it is. I mean, look, the Golden State Warriors, we can't overstate this, JD. The Golden State Warriors lost their Hall of Fame two guard a couple of weeks before the season started, right? You don't just overcome that by going out and trading for Kelly Oubre. That's just not how it works in the NBA. So the fact that they've been able to hang in, it's all good. Still got plenty to play for. This team could still do some cool things this year. They've got some very winnable games coming up, but it's a good reminder for this team of when they get away from the things that helps them win basketball games, that terrific defense or that top-level defense, hitting their threes. None of that worked out for them tonight, and when you're against a team like Brooklyn, it's just you're going to lose big if those things don't go your way.
Yeah, and tonight's the kind of night where, look, I'm not going to go crazy tonight when the Warriors get blown out by Brooklyn. I'm just not, and they're 14-13. But I'm going to tell you right now, two nights ahead of time, I'm going to go crazy on Monday if they don't beat Cleveland. And right. And here's the deal with Cleveland. Cleveland was actually 10-11. They've lost six consecutive games. They're 10-17. They're all the way now down to 13th in the Eastern Conference. They play the Clippers tomorrow night in Los Angeles. So in all likelihood, they're going to be 10-18 and on a seven-game losing streak on the second of a back-to-back when they play the Warriors on Monday night. That is a game you have to win, like, period, end of story. And if you can't win that game, then, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt tonight, but if you can't win that one, I'm coming down your road twice as hard if you can't win that one because I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt tonight. Is that cool with that?
Fair. I'm 100% cool with that, JD. You're being very diplomatic. I appreciate that. And look, the Warriors aren't supposed to beat the Brooklyn Nets. I would have liked to have seen them make it a little bit more competitive, and I do think they got a little bit discouraged. And we haven't even talked about, Draymond going down. I know, West Oakland Sam mentioned it in the monologue, that would have been, you talk about, like, a bigger loss than just one basketball game. I know I've been kind of hard on Draymond, but, like, this dude, he's everything to them defensively, and even offensively, the way he runs the point up top so often. I mean, that would just been a catastrophic loss. So it was so good to see him back out there in the second half.
Yeah, we'll get to Javier here in just a second on the phone lines, 888-957-9570. But just to clean up that bit of business, and we'll hear from Draymond later, but here's what Steve Kerr had to say after the ball game with respect to Draymond, and Draymond was able, obviously, to come back.
He tweaked his knee, and he was in a lot of pain, but when I went out to see him, he said, "I'll be fine." He said he had done it before. It was I don't know exactly how to describe what happened, but when I got out there, he was just in a lot of pain. But he said I'll be fine, and so Rick worked on him at halftime, and he was good to go.
And Anthony Slater of The Athletic, sharp enough to very quickly do a search of what Draymond had called it in the past, and the quote, and we'll hear from Draymond later, is the knee locked up on him, and from time to time. And Slater showed a video from 2017 where he says, from time to time, his knee just kind of locks up on him, doesn't feel quite right, but he's able to get it worked on, and then he's good to go. You're right. It looked bad, and I was thinking, uh-oh, if this is even some kind of knee sprain where, he's got to miss 2-4, that would be big trouble for the Golden State Warriors. Thankfully, it wasn't that. Looked like maybe he got a little scared initially, but he was ready to roll in that third quarter. So he should be fine here moving forward.
Yeah, and, you know, when it happened, it kind of looked like one of those non-contact deals, right, JD, where you just – you put the weight down on it, it gets that little, like, ripple, and then you go down. I mean, how many times have we seen a dude that happens and it's an ACL or something like that? So, thankfully, it was just the knee locking up, and sounds like he's going to be okay. And especially, you know, timing's everything. Even, you know, like you said, a sprain missing a couple of weeks, not right now when the Warriors don't have any big men. I mean, they're asking so much of Draymond already. So, yeah, that was just one they could ill afford if that was the case. So I'm glad he's all right.
Javier in Vacaville, you're up next here on Warriors Wrap Up. What's up, Javier? How you doing, buddy?
How are you guys doing? First things first, I want to shout out to my brother, Dan Buchanan, from Vacaville, won the Super Bowl. Wake Forest had the ball, and I just want to make that clear out today, won the Super Bowl. Love you, man, and welcome you back home with 707. You know, watching this game today, you know, first thing I want to present, how did you guys feel? Granted, you guys, you know, commended Draymond. Would you guys even consider finding a way to go younger, so to speak, and find a way to deal Draymond and keep Oubre? Would you find that anyway practical for the Warriors? And number two, for you Warrior fans out there, you know, maybe I'm being a little oversensitive, but, you know, I really had that feeling in my throat, like, man, a lot of nostalgia, man. Like, I look at that and, man, like, this Kevin Durant, it just makes you sad, man. Like, I know we have great times in 5 years, man. Maybe I'm being sensitive.
Hey, Javier, I want to give you one shot here. Your connection's breaking up a little bit. What was the trade you were talking about, or what were you saying about Draymond and Oubre? I want to speak up for me, though. We're having a hard time hearing you.
I was just saying, would you consider dealing Draymond Green in the offseason and keeping Oubre instead? If you guys even consider that something plausible for the Warriors going forward.
Oh, okay.
I just want to see.
Okay. Thanks, Javier. Appreciate it. I don't think the Warriors are in a mode right now, and you can disagree with me if you want, Kove, but I don't think the Warriors are in a position right now where they're thinking about trading Draymond Green. No. Like let's let this season play out, and let's see how good the Warriors are or aren't with this current compilation of players, and then it's still all about making the necessary adjustments to be as close to a contending team or a contending team for a championship next season.
Look, you trade Draymond Green, then all of a sudden, you know, until Klay's back, Steph Curry is, like, you know, basically the only lasting remnant of your championship core. Like, that's, you know, shout out to Kevon Looney, by the way, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just not happening. They made a $100 million commitment to Draymond Green, and I guarantee you Bob Myers wants to see what this thing looks like next year with the starting five of Draymond, Weissman, Wiggins, Klay, Steph, and I think all Warriors fans want to see that, and however else they add to this basketball team. So this year is just about getting some of that swag back, helping some of these youngsters develop, and then, you know, erasing the stain of 15 wins last year. Draymond Green isn't going anywhere, and rightfully so.
Yeah, it's just you got to see what this team can be. And look, I don't think there's a rush to judgment right now as far as needing to feel like you need to make big changes. Like,
no.
Draymond's playing better defensively. He's, you know, the assist numbers have been up in recent games. He is massively important to Stephen Curry's production. Like, there's a reason that those two have their minutes mirrored second for second. They both play the first and the third. They both come back typically at the exact same time in the middle of the fourth quarter, almost on a night-in, night-out basis if they're both healthy. There is a reason for that. They are tied together at the hip in terms of effectiveness and maximizing the better parts of this Warriors team. So there's a reason for that. They're not looking to get rid of Draymond Green. And, again, this is still a gap year.
Right.
It's a gap year where the Warriors can be a 500 team or a playoff team or even a little bit better, maybe get into that 38, 39-ish win, you know, realm in a 72-game season. But this is still more about making it through, evaluating who could maybe be a part of next year's core and having the necessary assets to make a number of different things happen in the offseason.
No question. And you can – That and if you accomplish those things, then the 2020-2021 season for the Golden State Warriors was a resounding success. So it clearly, I mean, you could just tell by Steve Kerr's comments the other night about grinding out wins and the like. Like, Steve Kerr's, they're looking ahead to next year. Now look, that doesn't mean this year is for naught, certainly, but there's a bigger picture at play here. The other part of Javier's comments, though, I kind of was feeling that too. Like, just seeing Kevin Durant out there, first of all, great to see him playing hoop again. Great to see him healthy. It's shout out to Herbs. It's good for ball. But you also kind of thought to yourself, man, like, God, if you guys could have just found a way to make it work. He's Kevin Durant. Like, it was so good, and he's still so
Kevin
good. And he's going to be good for at least another 5, 6, 7, 10 years.
I'm Kevin Durant.
Right? Thought you knew.
Who I am.
Right? You know who I am.
I'm Kevin.
I'm done.
It gets me every time, man.
It does.
That one gets me every time. That I'm Kevin Durant. Like that, like every time. Like if I'm in a bad mood, man, if we're ever doing a show together and it's like, man, we got to pick JD up.
Yeah.
JD's ticked off about something. If you just drop that in my ear, I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. Like it absolutely lights me up, man. I just love the swag and the attitude and the bravado by which he says that.
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am.
See, there you go. We've all got our favorites. You want to get me hyped up? You give me that Suge Knight drop all in the videos. You know what I mean? You give me that one, I'm good to go. So we all have our guys. We all have our drops that we go to.
It don't work like that.
It does, though. It does work like that. We just got to find the damn drop. But no, there was a strong measure of nostalgia tonight, though. And I love, like, you know, just the vibe out there. I mean, obviously the Warriors got their Heinies kicked, so there was that. But you could tell guys were just happy to see Kevin Durant playing basketball again, right? And, you know, Clay was out there, talking to the guys post-game as well. I know that these, you know, Harden and Kyrie and even KD, there's, you know, they kind of be, you know, they play a bit of that villain role here, against the Dubs. But by and large, there's a healthy amount of respect on both sides of the ball. And all of these guys have been in a lot of battles together. And, you know, the NBA, it's an exclusive fraternity, man. And, you know, you could tell even with Draymond and KD, and this, I can only infer on what I see with the body language and all that. But, you know, sometimes you have a disagreement with somebody, you have a falling out or whatever. But then after a while, enough time passes, and then you see him again, you kind of forget about that stuff. And it was just more about the good times and knowing that you just got miles with somebody, right? And, you know, when KD and Draymond had that little embrace tonight, it was kind of like, yeah, well, we don't always agree on everything, but, like, you know, there's still a lot of love there. And I think that was cool to see, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It was cool to see. We're going to hear from Kevin Durant coming up here in the next segment. We'll hear from Steve Kerr on Kevin Durant's return and also what went wrong for the Warriors on this night where they got thumped. They get beat 134-117. Nets led by as many as 28, and they go on to get the victory again by 17 tonight, sending the Warriors to 14-13. 888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson and Ryan Covey. Warriors wrap up. We're rolling on here on 95.7 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Draymond feeds in deep to Wiggins. Pump fake out to JTA. To Oubre Jr. Pump fake. Dribble drive. Goes up. Double clutch. Off the glass. Tough shot over Harris.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, want to win a new car? Now's your chance to score a BMW from BMW of San Francisco. I know you've entered a couple of times already. All you got to do is go to scoreabmw.com right now, and you can register there. That's scoreabmw.com. And then on Wednesday, February 24th, we'll pick one registrant at random who will get the chance to guess the final score of the Golden State-Los Angeles game on February 28th. If you guess the score correctly, you win a 2020 BMW from BMW San Francisco. It's that simple. Regardless of the outcome of the game, the person picked wins an authentic Dubs jersey. More details found at 957thegame.com. That's all presented by BMW of San Francisco, the ultimate BMW center in the ultimate city, Howard and South Van Ness, and BMWSF.com. Plain and simple. And I think while I was reading that, you entered for a third time, right?
I did.
Covey?
Yeah, and unfortunately, they keep telling me I've been blocked out. I'm locked out of the system. I cannot enter. But it's not the first time or the last time I've been blocked out of something. So I got a couple of burner accounts going right now, and I'm gonna keep logging in. So we'll see if I can at least get the opportunity. I mean, guessing the final score, that's a tall order. But you know, they are giving away a $60,000 Beamer, and either way, you get a fresh jersey. So I would encourage everybody to go ahead and enter, because hey, JD, you never know. And that way, if you stay ready, you don't gotta get ready. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. So make sure you're all over that right here on 95.7 The Game. Let's get to TJ in Oakland. TJ, you're up next here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. Nets beat the Dubs tonight 134-117. What's up, TJ?
Hey, not much. I just wanted to, you know, to bring a little bit of positivity perspective here. You know, just thinking about the team we lost and everything, but I'm not discouraged. Just looking at the circumstances and everything that, you know, we're facing, not only being down Clay, but being down Wiseman, Looney, and Marquise Chris. I think if you was to take AD off of the Lakers along with Mark Gasol, Taylor Horton Tucker, and Montrezl Harrell, you know, they'll be struggling. It's not worse than we're playing right now. So the fact that, you know, we're still treading water, even with the circumstances, I think that that's a little bit encouraging. But I will say, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I'm kind of done with the Brad Wanamaker experience. I mean, just looking at his play, he really can't shoot that well. He doesn't finish that well around the rim. And he commits a lot of silly fouls, and I think that that kind of takes away from the momentum of the game a lot of the time, and it's part of the reason why the second unit is so bad. I don't know if you guys are seeing the same way. But I'd like to get your thoughts on that. But when we add Clay back and all the rest of the guys and maybe that pick, if you know, we keep Oubre and stuff, I think next year we'll be highly competitive. And that's all I wanted to add.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I mean, Wanamaker is struggling. They make no mistake about it. I'm looking at his career numbers. And going into tonight for the Warriors this season, he's shooting 41.3%. He shot 51.5 and 48.1 from 2-point range over the course of the last couple of years. So he shot 47.6 and 44.8 the last 2 years with Boston. He's shooting 34% overall from three. He's a career 34% shooter from three, and he's shooting 23.3 so far this season. So the Warriors thought they were getting a better player based on what he had done the last couple of years, and in particular last year with Boston, where he played 71 games and started one for the Celtics. I mean, he was a factor for them off the bench in a backup role, and he just has not performed the way that the Warriors would have expected him to do so.
Yeah, I think he's certainly could be categorized as a disappointment at this point. I mean, early on, you know, you look and he's not a big time scorer by any stretch, but you know, your backup point guard, you need him to be a bit of a facilitator. And when you're the backup point guard for this team, that means you're getting time when Steph Curry's not on the floor, and it's a massively critical time in basketball games for the Warriors, right? When Curry's getting that rest, hold the line. Like, you don't even need like elite scoring per se, but you need great defense and you need a guy that can move the rock. He certainly struggled. I hadn't been totally out on Brad Wanamaker. And I'm not still totally out. I mean, I still think he does some things, but by and large, he has been a disappointment in the last couple of weeks. He's certainly been trending in the wrong direction, and it's really starting to be noticeable now at this point. I mean, you know, when the Warriors are still finding ways to win games and, you know, Steph is doing what he's doing, you know, obviously you're feeling okay. But at this point, I mean, Wanamaker, he's not holding the line when he's in the game. Like, the Warriors are slipping when he's in the game. And I think he's a guy, his shot's not confident at all. Because the thing that I liked about Wanamaker is there's a level of aggression there, right? Like, Wanamaker will take the ball to the hole. You know, he's a decent playmaker. You know, I think he had been earlier in the year a much better defender, right? He'll stand guys up and he's physical. He'll give you a little bit of toughness. But all of that's kind of evaporated, and we've kind of seen, you know, just kind of the worst parts of Wanamaker lately. So it's certainly something where, you know, maybe you can ride it out for the rest of this year. But, you know, I know you've said this many times, JD, and it's spot on. Just because Brad Wanamaker's here this year don't mean he's going to be here next year or the next time the Golden State Warriors are competing for a championship. So, you know, hopefully he can get back on track. But I don't see, like, Bob Myers, you know, out there in the trade market right now looking to upgrade the position. You know, it's kind of like, what for?
And at this point, maybe that changes over the course of the next 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, the trade deadline is 6 weeks from, you know, 2 days ago, basically, on March the 25th. So, you know, we'll see where the Warriors are at that particular point in time. And, you know, let's be honest. I mean, there isn't another option as far as the Warriors go right now with respect to, you know, somebody that could be a backup point guard. I mean, Jordan Poole and Nico Mannion are playing in the G League bubble in Orlando. I will throw this one at you, though.
I know where you're going. I know where you're going.
Jeremy Lin, yep, had 29 points and was 7 of 9 from 3 tonight as the Santa Cruz Warriors got a win tonight, their first win in the G League bubble. Jordan Poole actually had 26 as well. Nico Mannion, 22, and all five Warriors starters were in double digits on the Santa Cruz side. But, yeah, obviously, I mean, Jeremy Lin, look, and again, if the Warriors are going to do that, though, they would have to cut somebody and sign Jeremy Lin. So it's not an apples-to-apples kind of a thing where it's just, hey, move this guy up like a baseball team. Yeah, move him up for the minors, you know, move somebody down. It doesn't work that way. So, I mean, Wanamaker's going to get every opportunity. I think Jeremy Lin is with Santa Cruz at this point as an emergency option. You know, somebody gets injured, somebody goes into the health and safety protocols like Steph or Wanamaker. You know, that's when maybe there would be an emergency type of a situation where maybe a guy like Jeremy Lin would get a look. But at this point, I think we're going to start getting questions about it. So I felt like I might as well address it because he had the hot night tonight. But let's slow our roll on that one a little bit.
I like that. You felt you need the need to address it. That's what any good politician does, JD. They get out in front of the story so they can control the narrative, right? And now you've addressed it. The people understand it. And now they know what to expect moving forward. But, you know, it's funny because Jeremy Lin, he's not just a dude, right? I mean, it's freaking insanity. Like, he's always going to garner so much more attention, and rightfully so. And when the dude pops off and hits, when he hit 9 threes tonight or whatever it was, I mean, you know, that's going to get a little bit of attention when Brad Wanamaker's been circling the drain the way he has lately. So let me ask you this, JD. I know it doesn't work that way, but if it did, would you advocate right now, if you had the opportunity, apples to apples, Wanamaker out, Jeremy Lin in, you making that move tonight?
I would not. All nope, right. I would not. I would stick it out with Wanamaker because of the defense and the steady. But look, they could use some scoring right now, but it's at this point, I would stick it out with Wanamaker.
Yeah,
now, if this continues – again, and it gets to a point later on, you know, in the year, then maybe we're having a little bit of a different conversation, and that infusion of some scoring at the backup point guard spot could help be the difference between making the playoffs or not making the playoffs, and it would be such a small move. You know, then I would consider it. But again, it's hard for me to consider it apples to apples just based on the fact, like you're not going to just waive Brad Wanamaker. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know, it'd be one thing if they were, you know, again, if it was like baseball where you just, all right, Brad Wanamaker has been sent to Santa Cruz and he's been optioned, and right. You just optioned the guy up. Right. But no, it doesn't work that way. So Wanamaker's going to have to try to figure it out. And look, I think he doesn't have a ton of, you know, obviously an NBA sample size, but I got to think at some point he's going to hit a hot streak and get a little bit closer to the player that he's been these last couple of years with Boston.
Yeah, and to be fair, too, like, when he's out there, you know, he's not playing. He doesn't get to play with Steph and Draymond, I mean, first and foremost. So, you know, he's not out there with elite players, per se. And, you know, again, like, it's not sexy. He was never going to be a big scorer. I mean, I looked at his box scores in Boston last year. I mean, he had a handful, you know, one or two games where he popped off for, you know, 18, 20 points, something like that. But by and large, Wanamaker's here to play defense, facilitate the rock, and again, make sure that second unit isn't a complete loss when Steph and Draymond are getting their win back. You know, and by and large, for a lot of the year, that was the case, as a matter of fact. And I actually thought Wanamaker, you know, as recently as a couple of weeks ago, was kind of starting to get pretty comfortable in his role, but there's been a regression. But, you know, a veteran guy like that, and I say veteran as, you know, he's been around a while. I mean, the guy, was he 32, I think, JD, 31 or 32? So, you know, Steve Kerr is going to give him every opportunity to get it right. But, you know, if we're here, you know, a couple of weeks from now and Wanamaker's still struggling, then maybe they're going to make a move. But they're not going to be impulsive. It's not like, you know, they're feeling the crunch right now. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, right now the Warriors, you know, they're still right in the thick of it. They're a game over 500. They've got some very winnable games coming up here. So what they've been able to do, JD, by kind of, you know, win a couple, lose a couple, they've been buying themselves time, right? Where you don't feel like, oh, yeah, my God, the season's getting away from them. They're just hanging around, and that's fine. That's really, for this year, like, it's acceptable. It's not optimal, but it's acceptable.
It is, and I think the hope is that you know, a couple of, like, I always look at it, what does the eye test tell you? And I think to this point, the Warriors are still overperforming the eye test with their record. 14-13, like, if you said, JD, you don't know the Warriors' record, but you've watched them play 27 games to this point, what do you think their record is? And I would probably say 12-15.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I would, and but they're not 12-15. And the hope is, okay, you're a couple of games maybe over what it's looked like you should be to the eye test. Now, does Oubre start to play better? Which he has started to play a little bit better over the last couple of weeks, with the exception of a couple of games. I think that's something that should be pointed out. He was 1-for-5 from three tonight. Not necessarily one of those nights tonight specifically for Kelly Oubre. Can Wanamaker get going? Can you figure out the bench? Can Draymond start to look better? Does Wiggins remain consistent? If those things, Wiseman comes back. I mean, they've been playing without centers now for the last six games. So, you know, so 14-13, given all of those issues, you know, you're a little more optimistic that maybe you're going to turn a corner in a positive light than you are going to fall off the mountain and wind up on a 4 or 5 game losing streak.
Right.
But it's all very fragile, and it's contingent on making sure you don't slip up and lose a game like Thursday night against Orlando, which the Warriors didn't, although they were in a danger zone in the fourth quarter, and making sure you don't lose games to teams like Cleveland that are probably coming in to Chase Center with a 7-game skid on Monday night.
Yeah, just keep buying yourself time, win the games you're supposed to win, you know, pick up a couple maybe that you weren't expected to win along the way, and you can stay in contention in this thing, and it avoids, you know, anybody in this front office from feeling like they got to make any changes. Because, look, man, Steve Kerr laid the cards on the table the other night. He said it without saying it. Like, they're just developing guys and, you know, trying to see who's going to be a part of this thing going forward next year when they make another run at the Larry O'Brien Trophy.
The only part, and I'm with you on all of that, the only part I didn't like about that I do feel like I need to point out again, not for you, but just for the listener, like, you still want to do everything you can to make the playoffs. Like, that,
oh,
like you
absolutely.
Win,
I didn't even like what he had games. To say. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I didn't even necessarily
And I'm not
agree
coming down your road.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, I didn't even necessarily agree with it. If I was a Warriors fan, I wouldn't like hearing that. But that's kind of one of those, well, he's the coach, and, you know, he basically laid it out. You might not like it, but there's a lot of things in life I don't like. But, hey, that's what time it is.
It's okay if you're doing that and you're – a couple of games over 500 for me. It's not okay if you're doing that and you're a couple games below 500. Like, everybody has their line of what's acceptable and what's not, and that's just how I view this season. If the Warriors wind up 38-34 and they play it straight like they have to this point, where they're not going to chase wins and they're going to keep playing Wanamaker and Oubre's going to have his ups and downs, and they get to 38-34, I'm going to tip my cap to him at the end of the year. I'm going to go, this was a successful season.
Right.
If they do that and it gets them to 33-39 when it's all said and done, then I'm going to have a completely different take on it. It's that much of a fine line. As far as the way I look at it. Let's hear some sound. Obviously, tonight, a special night because Kevin Durant returned to the Bay Area to face his former mates at Chase Center. Brooklyn gets the win over the Warriors, 134-117. Let's hear from Steve Kerr first, and then we'll hear from Steph, and then we'll hear from the man himself before we call it a night. Here's the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, on Kevin Durant returning.
Well, it was great to see Kevin tonight. You know, we're all so happy for him that he's healthy and playing at such a high level, and he looks very happy. And so we're excited happy to see him doing well. It would have been great to have fans here to welcome him back, to thank him for his 3 years here. But obviously, with the pandemic, you know, different situation.
Yeah, different situation indeed, and I think, you know, the least you can do, and Steve Kerr had said as much in another quote, you know, the least you can do is, you know, just pay your respects and show him some love and appreciate, you know, him on a night like tonight. And I think the Warriors did that first class all the way around. Definitely weird without fans, and it hits a little different. I'm not going to lie. Actually hit a lot different.
Yeah.
But the Warriors did what they needed to do appropriately. And so I feel like that's you know, A-plus job by the Warriors in difficult circumstances.
No doubt. And you would expect nothing less from this organization. And, you know, again, enough time has passed, too, and it wasn't just like Kevin Durant bolted in free agency. It was the last time we saw Kevin Durant wearing a Warriors uniform, he limped off the court in the finals after gutting it out and trying to get back in the lineup, right? So it was just such a heartbreaking moment. And then I don't think, you know, it's not so cheesy to say, like, you know, nobody ever really got a chance to say goodbye. You know what I mean? Like, it was just over. And then it was over at Oracle, and it was just such an end of an era, and it was just such a tough way for it all to end. At this point, you're just, you know, it's almost like you come out on the other side just glad everybody's okay and hooping again, you know? So in that respect, it was just good to see KD, and, you know, he does, man. You talk about playing at a high level. Kevin Durant looks like he hasn't missed a beat, man.
Yeah, no, he really did. And you're right to the point about, you know, not being able really get to say goodbye. I mean, you go all the way back. I mean, he came back in game five of the finals, and he hadn't played since game five of the second round when he went down. And if you remember, you know, that night it was a 2-2 series, and Kevin Durant goes down, and all of a sudden it's the fourth quarter of basically a tie game. And you're thinking, damn, the Warriors' season might be over like two nights from now if they can't get this win. They're going to Houston maybe with their season on the line and no Kevin Durant. And as it turns out, that was the last time he played for the Warriors inside Oracle Arena because
right.
He didn't come back until the one game in Toronto.
Yeah, and I remember that night vividly because the Sharks also played a playoff game that night, and I was leaving the Shark Tank, and I was on my motorcycle, and when I'm riding my bike, you know, occasionally I'll throw in my earbuds. You know, you can't listen to the radio. So I called the radio station and I asked Nash, I think who was running the board, who was back there. I was like, hey, do me a favor. You know, you can call the when you work at the station, you can call a line and they can throw you on hold and
yeah.
You can like just listen to the game. You know what I mean? And I was riding back from the Shark Tank on my bike, listening to the game. And I was like, oh my God, Kevin Durant just went down. And I literally had to like pull over and like stop and listen. And I'm texting people. I'm like, what just happened? And then I got home and I found out, and it was like, oh man, like that was just, you know, you're staring at the end immediately. You know, you go from, oh yeah, they're going to get a three-peat to, is it over? Like it happened that quick.
888-957-9570. Still time to maybe sneak in a call or two here, but let's hear some more post-game sound from Steve Kerr. Here's what Coach Kerr had to say about the tribute.
Well, I didn't see it, Imani, but, you know, this is something that is such a no-brainer. You know, when Kevin came here and you know, gave us 3 years of just incredible basketball, you know, the least we can do is welcome him back with open arms. And I think everybody was genuinely happy to see him, obviously healthy and playing at such a high level again. That's the main thing. You know, the guy gave everything to us for 3 years and then left with a devastating injury. There should be a lot of love for him. He did so much for us.
And that's the way to look at it. I mean, point blank. I mean, help the Warriors win two championships, put it all on the line to have a shot at winning a third, when the reality is I don't think anybody would have questioned him if he didn't attempt to come back. And it was just some of the most beautiful basketball you'll ever see along those lines. And I think, you know, sometimes some Warriors fans feel a certain way about it, but I think for the most part, everybody gets exactly what Steve Kerr is talking about, and Steve Kerr just continues to be first class in acknowledging that.
You know, it's funny. You know, we talk about basketball kind of, you know, as a fan's perspective. Like, you know, I know, JD, you've got a real keen understanding of the game, but, you know, I mean, Steve Kerr is he's a savant. He's a keen basketball intellect, but even he speaks on this type of thing the same way we do, right? Like, just – you know, yeah, man, like the guy laid it on the line, gave you 3 great years. You know, it's just on the most simplistic way possible. Like, and it's sincere too, right? And so the same way we look at it is kind of the same way Steve Kerr looks at it. And I think that's the way really all people should look at it. Even if you feel put out by the fact that he left in free agency or something, like, I hope that Warriors fans, and I think most Warriors fans are of this mindset, you know, especially if you grew up watching the team, things like that. Like, that 5-year period, 5 finals, 3 titles, like, the Golden State Warriors, you know, could have never dreamed of going on a run like that. And, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, even, you know, 10 years from now, 30 years from now, I think we'll still look back on this as, like, you know, the golden age of Warriors basketball. And quite frankly, you know, when a little point guard named Steph Curry, you know, and Klay Thompson helped usher in kind of a new way that the game was being played and basically changed basketball. I mean, I don't think that's an overstatement. So for Kevin Durant to be a part of that and the Warriors to go to 5 finals and win 3 titles, that should be celebrated for many years to come.
Let's hear from Steph Curry after the ball game. Steph, rough night for him. Still 10 of 17, but 2 of 9 for 3, 27 points in this one. But the story of the night was the return of Kevin Durant, and here's what Steph had to say about KD coming back to the Bay.
It was obviously great to see KD. Anytime you come off an injury, we've talked about it a lot, just to see him playing at a high level. It's great for basketball. It's great for the league. No fans, so the atmosphere wasn't what it was supposed to be. But for either team, and it's kind of a very unique situation. But you know, it was great to see, him out there. Obviously, not great to see the way that they played, but it was a good night.
Good night on that front. And the good news is, no fans tonight means the Warriors are going to have an opportunity to do it again the next time that Kevin Durant comes to the Bay at some point next season, and hopefully with a full house. And I think he's going to get a raucous and appreciative ovation from the Chase Center crowd.
I don't think there's any doubt about that, you know, and rightfully so. I mean, again, I know we talked about this a little bit last night. If I was a fan in those stands and somebody booed Kevin Durant, I might look over and be like, what the hell's wrong with you? You know what I mean? Like, seriously, I don't know if I could just let that stand. I really couldn't, because, I mean, come on, have a little respect and appreciation.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I just think, you know, the Warriors handled it as well as they possibly could have in, you know, given the circumstances tonight. And I think tonight is a healing kind of a night too for those that may have a little bit of ill will. Just seeing, you know, him and Draymond going back and forth a little bit tonight, him and Steph, you know, all of the high praise and the respect from, you know, those that are so respected by Warriors fans, their own Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Draymond, you know, everybody saying the right things. I think that helps soften everything.
Sure.
And seeing everybody healthy as well. So I think it's going to be even greater, believe it or not, as unfortunate it is it's going to wind up being 2.5 or close to 3 years before he winds up playing again in the Bay with fans. And the other thought that I had here before we hear from KD and then call it a night was, man, is it a bummer still that, I mean, Durant is actually, think about this, playing in Chase Center before Klay Thompson for the first time.
That's heartbreaking. It really is. That sucks. You're right, and I hadn't thought of it like that, and that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, to think. I mean, Klay Thompson, and he was stomping around, angry, upset at the poor play tonight. He's such an he's such a joy to watch, even when he's not playing, because he's so into it. I mean, he is not going to play a game in what will amount to at least 28 months. And that's if he comes back relatively on time and they start next season on a normal schedule. It could be even a little bit longer. All right, a couple of cuts here from KD before we end the program tonight. Brooklyn gets the job done over the Warriors, 134-117. Here's what KD had to say post-game regarding the tribute that the Warriors paid to him.
Tribute video was cool. I mean, I think about those moments daily. You know, every single moment that I had in this league, I think about it and try to analyze it and get better from it. You know, this my time here in Golden State was so much fun. It's such a big learning experience, especially learning the game of basketball and a different philosophy. I'm gonna take that with me for the rest of my life. So. Tribute video was cool, but I'm always replaying those moments in my head.
How about that? Little thoughtful KD there. He's got it in him. Like, anybody that doesn't think he does hadn't been paying attention properly. But a little nostalgia there, I could tell from the tone of his voice from KD.
Agreed. And he's such a student of the game too, right? I mean, you know, with that philosophical viewpoint of it. And of course, it all goes back to hooping too, right? Like, his time in Golden State made him a better basketball player. I'm sure it made him a better man, right? How much did you learn about yourself? And look, I think you can – he didn't necessarily say it there, but I think you could tell in his tone too. And what? How could this not be the case, you know, in 3 years and experiencing all the things that he did here? You know, I'm sure there's stuff that he looks back on, and, you know, he's probably got some regrets too and some things he would like to do over and change, like we all do in life, right? And so it just happens to play out under a microscope, under, you know, the public eye with so much scrutiny because, you know, these guys are such high-profile athletes and the Warriors, you know, are such a – you know, an important and, you know, high profile team. So I think there was probably, I felt a little bit of that from KD too, you know, that he was reflecting on a lot of the things that he's learned. So much respect for KD, man. I know he gets hated on a little bit, but I love KD, man. The player, the dude, I find him intriguing because he's flawed and, like, you know, he's cool with it. Like, I don't know. There's people like that for every reason. Like, I'm feeling his vibe, man. And it was great to just see him hooping again tonight too. Like, that dude is a hell of a basketball player. And it's just like, you know, I know when we had a caller earlier talk about this, JD. It's like, man, it's one of those things where maybe you couldn't appreciate it as much as you should have till it was gone. But man, like, he made the Warriors incredible for the 3 years he was here.
He absolutely did, and he also addressed Klay Thompson's recovery. Obviously, Klay out with the Achilles injury. Durant was out with the Achilles injury. Here's what KD had to say about Klay.
Me and Klay talk pretty often, a couple times a week, and it's good to see him starting to walk and getting his boot. And, you know, I've seen, obviously, I know what that process is like, so I know he's chomping at the bit to get out on the court and start form shooting stuff. So can't wait to see him back out there.
Talk a couple of times a week. How about that? For all the discussion and the chatter about, you know, who everybody likes Klay, man. Like, it just doesn't matter who you are. Everybody likes Klay. Look at those two talking a couple times a week.
I mean, look, first of all, yeah, if you don't like Klay, it's because you don't like yourself. I mean, straight up. Like, what's not to love about Klay Thompson? Yeah, I mean, I think first, you know, I'm sure they built a pretty strong bond. Both of those guys kind of marched to the beat of their own drum, right? And look, right now, Klay's going through some serious rehab. If I'm Klay, I'm leaning on Kevin Durant about the Achilles. I mean, come on, he literally just went through it. So, no, that's awesome, man. And look, this league, it's a fraternity, right? I mean, these guys, they all are in it together, essentially. So I'm not surprised by that, but it does make me happy.
Good stuff there. That's going to do it for us. Great stuff today, Covey. What was it? 6 hours of Covey today and 5 hours of JD. So you get the win tonight.
I finally got you. I got you on a Saturday.
You beat me 6-5 in extra innings. But yeah, that'll do it for us. We're back Monday, Warriors Live with Jim Barnett. On the holiday, President's Day, 5:30 for the Warriors and the Cavaliers. So join us then. That's going to do it. Great stuff.
Yeah, good
always,
stuff,
buddy.
Man. Absolutely. And, yeah, shout out to everybody that waited on the programs today. Long day, but come on, man. We're talking about sports for a living, and I'm glad to have been on extended coverage on a day like this. I know the Warriors, it didn't go their way tonight, but good to see KD. And, hey, just make sure you handle business against the Cavs Monday night, and everything will be all good.
All right, so for Ryan Covey, I'm John Dickinson. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. Take care of your loved ones
tomorrow. Hey, JD. Hey,
yo.
I love you, man. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day to you, brother. Have you and the wife have a great Sunday. It's, you know, a nice day, off day for the two of us as well. So it's, you know, good stuff tomorrow. Now, it's a well-placed Valentine's Day in the context of the NBA schedule, which is always something that I'm keeping an eye on a year in year out basis. There's no doubt about it. So for Ryan Covey, I'm John Dickinson. Thanks to Sterling, thanks to Arden and Sam as well. Great job by one and all to the weekend crew helping us out here. We're back Monday again at 5:30 for Warriors Live. Nets beat the Warriors tonight at Chase Center, 134-117. You heard it all right here on 95.7 The Game.
I love you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.